Very interesting parasha. A lot of principles of torts, the laws of torts, shmira, following Kabbalah Satara. The first thing that came across this idea, this interesting idea, is that it seems that in ancient times, I don't know what ancient times really means, that Parashas Mishpatim really, what we call Mishpatim, really used to be possibly two separate parashiyos. Which would then mean that today, when we lay in what we call Parashas Mishpatim, we're really laying a double header. And we know that in the Torah we have a tradition, and the way our Chumashim are divided, there are 54 parashiyos. Count all the parashiyos in the Torah, there are exactly 54. I think it's extremely rare that we lay in every Shabbos, we don't never double up. I think we had it once, the last time it was a leap. I think we actually had that. It's a very rare.
Like every 20 or 30 years, something like that.
You lay literally every single parasha separately. You don't lay, there's no doubling ups. But usually we double up many of them. Even in a leap year, we double up even a few of them sometimes. Whatever it is, we know the ones that were the very popular ones we double up is Achadim is Kedoshim, Matas Masei. Yaakov Bekudei. Okay, there are certain ones, and there's some that are more rare. Balak, Chukas, and Balak. Chukas and Balak, occasionally.
I remember Rosh Hashiva came from Eretz Yisrael.
Yeah.
And he missed the Kriyas HaTorah, right. One Sedra. So he asked that for Kayan, they should read
the whole parasha.
The whole parasha, right. And then go in.
Right, so that's not even so simple to do that. That's a whole interesting topic of discussion itself. Yeah. Okay, but not all the Paiskim are. Yeah, that's a different sugya.
I think from Lakewood, even the Bobby, I think maybe Bobby Coupler.
Okay.
He came from Eretz Yisrael.
And he missed one of the parashiyos. Right, because of the way the parashiyos are arranged, the difference between American and Chutz L'Eretz because of its second day. So it's brought down. I would have brought the Sefer with me, but I don't have this. In the Oitzer Pilois, the very famous, already has four volumes. It's the first vart in the Oitzer Pilois on Parashas Mishpatim. He cites this. I don't remember the source. That Parashas Mishpatim is really two parashiyos, and the first parasha begins with the Eile HaMishpatim Asher Tosl Lefneihem, and the second parasha was traditionally in Kesef Talve Esani. Like right in the middle. In Kesef Talve, and it could very well be that at some points in time, back in our history, one Shabbos they laid from the Eile HaMishpatim, and the second week, the next week, they laid in Kesef Talve Esani. And for some reason, so we double it up. And it was, just to take a step back, the Zohar in the Zohar, it says that there are Gan Parashiyos, like in Gan Eden. Now Gan is 53. That's a problem because we have in our counting, in our Chumashim, 54. And everyone struggles to reconcile. How do we reconcile the Zohar that says there are 53 with the fact that we have 54? And there are very popular answers. The popular answer is that the Zohar HaBrocha does not count. Because the Zoyis HaBracha, we don't lay on Shabbos. The Zoyis HaBracha is laid even during the week. There are 53 parashios that are laid on Shabbos Kodesh. But the Zoyis HaBracha is not attached specifically to Shabbos. Simchas Torah is never. It never comes out on Shabbos, Simchas Torah. So that's why he says only. That's one answer. There are another 10 answers. Some will say that really the parasha of Truma Tetzaveh is really one parasha. Just like it really was originally one parasha, and we split it into two in order to fulfill Mochenina Misifcha Shokosofta. Okay, there are many different answers. But this idea that he says that Parashas Mishpatim is really two parashas that begins, Ve'ilaham Mishrutim is number one, and Imkesef Talva Esami, that blows a whole new hole in the whole thing, because then it comes out that it's not really 54, it's 55. And then he writes there, he goes more into this topic in depth, and he says some say that Kisisa was also originally two parashios. Kisisa, which makes it into 56. And then there's another one, I think there's one more, I don't remember which one it is. All right, whatever it is obviously today, that's not our custom. Today our custom is, it's already etched in stone, no going back. We have 54 parashos, Mishpatim is one parasha, we never ever break it up. But it definitely is something very interesting, such a fact, that it is cited by some of the Kadmonim, that parashas Mishpatim, what we lay in today, is we're really letting tomorrow a double header, two parashos. And what's very interesting, what caught my attention is because it comes out then, that the first parasha and the second parasha have a completely different theme. The parasha of Mishpatim is, you got a problem, you go to court. Ve'ele ha-mishpatim asher tosim lifnehem. You have a friend who you thought was your friend, and you lent him money, and he didn't pay you back. Take him to court. That's right, you take him to court. Someone you suspect, someone is a ganav, you take him to court. And the pasuk says, asher tosim lifnehem, you go to a Jewish court. No, everyone knows the first Rashi, lifnehem v'loy arkoyos. But you go to court. There's mishpat. There has to be mishpat. No monkey business here. Someone owes you money, don't be a nebuch. Don't let someone take advantage of you. You take him to court. Okay, the parasha is over. Now we come to the next parasha. What's the next parasha? The second parasha. In kesef talveh es ami. What does this mean? Kesef talveh es ami. There are many different perushim. One, you have the Jewish, and you have Jewish, and you have pshat. It simply means if you lend money, talveh, if money will be lent by a person to another person in my nation. If Reuven lends money to Shimon, both Reuven and Shimon are members of Ami, of my nation. So the pasuk says, "Es he'oni imach." You should. Rashi says, "Pshut shel mikra." Rashi says, "Look at the borrower. If he's poor, make believe you were in his position. Make believe you are poor. If you're the lender, obviously you have money to lend. You're not poor." Someone is poor, he needs to borrow money. Now he's delinquent, he's late, he has not yet paid you back. So what are you going to do? I'm going to shake him up. I'm going to send a collection agency. I'm going to harass him. I'm going to be mevaza him. I'm going to make his life miserable. So the pasuk says, don't do that. Es he'oni, the poor man, imach. Rashi says, make believe you're the poor man. If you were in his shoes and you borrowed money, and now you were sincere, in willing, be wanting to pay back the money, and you don't have what to pay back, how would you feel if you were in his shoes? Would you appreciate someone every day coming, knocking on your door and harassing you, and telling other people, and throwing your children out of yeshiva because you didn't pay the tuition, and this, and this, and this? How would you feel? How would you feel? So take that into consideration, and don't demand your entitlement 100% where there's room, where you have a way. Obviously, every situation is different, but where you're able to give the person a little more time to be a little more easy. Let me read you the words of Rashi. Rashi says, "Es ha'ani imach." Okay, es ha'ani imach. Have a mistakel be'atzmicha. Look at yourself. Ki ilu ato ani. Make believe you are in his shoes. Lo sielo ki noshe. Don't be like a collector. Loi tit be'enu b'chazoka. Don't make demands of the borrower with intensity. Im ato yoidea she'ein loi, if you know that he doesn't have what to pay, al tihi doime alav ki ilu hilvisoi. Don't go look at him as if you lent him money. Look at him like a person who I did not lend money to. Don't put him to shame. Don't put this person to shame. Okay, this is what it says over here in Rashi. An incredible Rashi. Now wait a minute. This pasuk is a complete direct contradiction to the pasuk in Parshas Megillah Parsha. Ve'ela hamishpatim. Ve'ele ha-mishpatim asher tosim lifnehem. Yikov ha-din e-sohar. You lend someone money, he doesn't pay you back, take him to court. Demand what you're entitled to. These are two separate parashiyos. If this was one big parasha, parashas ve'ela ha'mishpatim is one big parasha, no, so you have a pasuk over here, a pasuk over there, different situations, but it completely changes the whole contradiction, the different approach to mishpat becomes augmented, appreciated, when you take note that this is one parasha, and the parasha is over, and now we have another parasha. And the attitude of the first parasha is a very different attitude than the second parasha. The attitude of the first parasha is an attitude of mishpat, and the attitude of the second parasha is, don't demand in this world what you are entitled to. So which is it? What is it?
At first you should be sympathetic, and at a certain point you have to be more severe.
Well, certainly the order is the other way around. The first parasha is demand what you're entitled to. Don't let anyone get away with anything. Don't let a person get away with anything. Once a person gets away with something, then it's a slippery slope. The whole society will come crumbling down. But on the other hand, you have to show sympathy. You have to show sympathy for people that can't stand the harshness of din. And the answer is Elu v'Elu Divrei Elokim Chayim. Obviously, if everything else in the Torah in life, it's a matter of balance. But you have to have both. There has to be law and order. There has to be mishpat. People have to be responsible, accountable for what they do and what they borrow. You borrow money, you have to pay back. You can't pay it back. What happened with, remember a couple years ago with the whole housing? There was a bubble burst when the banks, people, they were giving away mortgages for nothing. There was no possibility people would be able to pay back these mortgages. And they just gave out away people money for nothing. And then eventually the whole bubble burst. You don't do that. Ve'ela ha'mishpatim. Someone owes you money, you collect. But there are exceptions. There are exceptions, there are situations. And there has to be a balance. So it's very interesting, if indeed it is true, that originally these two sections were two separate parashios, and today we read it as one parasha, it's by design. Because these two parashios, each one in and of itself, can lead to a disaster. If you go one Shabbos and you read just the parasha, the Ve'ela ha'mishpatim, and you walk away, you have a cruel, mean society. A society that like every penny, we're going to nickel and dime you. We're not going to let you get away with anything. That's not a mahalach. And it has to be mishpat. There's no question. And you can have demands. If you go to shul, the only thing they're going to lay in shul is some kesef talva esami, and they're going to tell you have to be kind and gracious and forgiving, and no one has to pay back their loans. We'll cancel all school loans, and we'll give you everything for free, for free, for free. All of a sudden, you're going to have runaway inflation, and instead of everyone having everything, everyone has nothing. Communism. The goal is no one should be poor. And what is the result? Everyone is poor. There is a balance between the Ve'elech HaMishpatim and Im Kesef Talva Esami Es Ha'ani Imach. Make believe you're the poor person. How would you feel out with all the harassment and the demands and the bills coming in and the person never doesn't have what to pay? Find a solution. It's not the ideal. It's not for the entire society. But for Yechidim, in exceptional circumstances, there have to be exceptions made to help people get back on their feet.
Right. But if you ignore the law altogether,
then you're finished.
Then
society is corrupt.
What we have
exactly right now, exactly. There has to be a proper balance. There are two completely separate parashiyos in the Torah. There's the parasha of Ve'elech HaMishpatim, and there's the parasha of Kesef Talva Esani Es Ha'ani Imach. And the two have to be read together on the same Shabbos, in order to remind society, you have to find the proper balance of the two principles to have a fruitful and successful society. Okay, let's now go to. Okay, I'm going to jump to the end of the parasha. This idea, and then we're going to come back and do some other things. I want to jump to this idea. This idea, I came across something that blew my mind. Totally blew my mind. Totally changed. Change the way I think about a lot of things. We have in the Torah Taryag Mitzvahs, 613 Mitzvahs. The Taryag Mitzvah divide into two parts. They divide into the Mitzvah Say and the Mitzvah Lo Say. And there are many of the Gedolei Yisrael from all generations that have tried, made a very big attempt to count the Mitzvahs. To count You count how many, we have the Mesoira handed down is 613. Of the 613, we have a Mesoira, 365 are negative commandments, and 248 are positive commandments. 248, 365. Now, try to figure out, go through the Torah from beginning to end, and try to figure out, number one, the 613, and break them up into the positive and the negative. It's an impossible job. There are many that have tried. The Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos, the Ramban has a completely different calculation of how you get the 613. And there is the Smag, the Sefer Mitzvos Gedolos, the Sefer Mitzvos Gedolos, and the Smak, the Sefer Mitzvos Ketanos. And there is a whole long list of many others. Okay, I don't remember, there's a whole long list of the Rishonim who have made a desperate attempt to figure out, to go through Pasuk by Pasuk, and to figure out and count for you the Tayag Mitzvos and to fit them into the Psukim. And by doing so, there's a major disagreement. If this is called a mitzvah, this is not called a mitzvah, how do you group them together? And it's a big topic of discussion. This is something which many of the Svarim deal with, and it becomes an issue of lahagdil Torah, lahadir, to try to go and figure this out. Like, for example, the Rambam, one of the major kash in the Rambam is, the Rambam does not count the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael as one of the Tayag Mitzvahs. Shocking. How could the Rambam not include the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, the Arashta Isa? It's not part of the 613.
The very first mitzvah.
What?
I think it's included in the very first mitzvah.
Okay, so you're being a falpa, you're trying to defend for the Rambam. This is one teeny example. Every single mitzvah, some of the mitzvahs, the Rambam breaks up into five mitzvahs, and the Rambam says, what do you mean there are five? It's all one mitzvah. That opens up four more mitzvahs for the Rambam to sneak in. Okay, it's all a question of how you make the calculation. Okay, this is an interesting topic of itself. Okay, fine. Now, what I'm going to tell you now is only based upon one calculation, which unfortunately I didn't realize I was going to say this over until this morning, so I didn't record all the details. So you have to trust me, which you should never ever do. I have it over here on the shelf over here. I can show it to you where I saw this. This interesting idea. We know there's a Shema Hashem called Shakai. Shakai, it's on our tefillin. Shin Ler Dal Ler Yud. We say Aleinu L'Shabeach. What says Alkein the Kavuchash Liros Reb Sifer Lahavir Gilul Meretz Volim Grosi L'Sakein Oylam B'Malchus Shakai. Shakai, wherever you turn, right and left, you come across the Shem Hashem called Shakai, which means She'omar Le'Oylam Oydai. What is the name Shakai? So there are many Perushim. Shakai means it's the Shem Hashem of Tzimtzum, where Hashem hides himself. He said to the world, don't develop and expand to the degree where it will be obvious that I am the Creator. I want to be hidden. I want man to find me. She'omar Le'Oylamoy, when Hashem created the world, and he told the world to develop and expand and come forth, done. Ordinarily, when you build a building, what do? You have a cornerstone. Who paid for the building? You have the shah, the gate, and you have all the big names, all the millionaires, the philanthropists who paid for the building. No. I don't want there to be a plaque in this world stating who made this world. Don't let it be me. Die. I want to be not known. Anonymous. That's Poshup Shah. That is the simple interpretation. So I came across something fascinating. In one of the listings of the negative commandments, the 365, I don't know if this is the Rambam's counting, it's the Ramban's counting, the smag, the other many hamitzvahs, maybe it's all of them. They calculate that there are exactly 51 negative mitzvahs related to Avodah Zarah. Exactly 51. Make a count, go through the thing, that's what it says there, exactly 51. Now, there are 365 negative commandments. If you subtract 351 from 365, what is the result? If you subtract 51 from 365, what do you have? 314. What is 314? Shaka. I'm not a big gematria fan. This somehow captured me. Okay. If you we take it, we have that's the tradition. There's 365 negative commandments. Avodah Zarah falls in the category, more or less, of don't worship lo yelcha elohim acherim, and all different facets of Avodah Zarah, all different facets, you know, of dimensions. And if you go through Tayag, all the losa says 51 of the 365 relate to different dimensions, specific things that may not be done because it relates to idolatry. So when you reduce that, what are you left with? You're left with 314.
Okay.
Wow, that's very interesting. So that means now let's go one step at a time. Now, I want to come to this parasha. I'll show you something at the end of the parasha, which I find to be a hint to this idea. Let's look at Aleinu. Al kein the kavul Hashem looking liros mebisifari to zechla havir. We move the gilulim in aretz, the halilim, kados yikareisun. Lesachin, we move the idolatry. Get rid of idolatry. The gilulim and the elilim, which simply means idolatry, and then the world will be established lesachin oilam in a malchus of shakai. The 51 loisaseis are no longer relevant. They will no longer be on the soyoin. They're no longer relevant. And then it is the malchus of Shaka. 314, no longer 365. Okay, tefillin. What a tefillin. Virohu kol ame ha'aretz. Kishem Hashem nikra olecha. When the whole world sees that the Shem Hashem rests upon the Jewish people, Avodah Zarah melts away. It just melts. It doesn't exist. So what are they seeing? So what? Why on our tefillin do we display Shakai? Because when the Shem Hashem is near it, there is no Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah. And Gilulim, Elilim. It just disappears. If we live with the tefillin, the role called Ame Ha'aretz Kishta, Ame Ha'aretz, the world is looking at the Jewish people and they see the Shem Hashem, that's it, gone. Avodah Zarah doesn't exist. What are they seeing? What are we seeing with the tefillin? Shaka. We've gone down from 365 to 314. It's not an Nisayon. Doesn't exist. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, what did Hashem create the world with? Baruch Shamar V'Hoy Ha'olam. The shame that Hashem, Shakai, Shamar L'Olam Oidai. Why Shakai? Because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there was no Avodah Zarah. Who invented Avodah Zarah? Yeah. Enosh.
But you still need the 314 Lavin to establish boundaries.
Correct.
To say enough.
You still need
Die.
Die, not Avodah Zarah. Okay, fine. I'm not dwelling on the word die. I'm not dwelling on the word. You say something very deep, which but Hashem created the world with Shaka. You know why? Because when Hashem created the world, there was no Avodah Zarah. Who's the boss here? There's only one boss in Hashem. It was man, the Dor Enosh, us chuchal likra b'shem Hashem. They're the ones. Oh, you know what? Let's invent the Gilulim, the Elilim. Let's invent Avodah Zarah. That's a later innovation. When Hashem created the world, He created the world with Shaka, because the word Shaka means from the loisaseh, from the negative commandments, it was irrelevant. It was irrelevant to focus on Avodah Zarah. Shaka. Okay, this idea, I'm telling you, it really blew my mind. Never heard of something like this. It's an amazing concept. 365 loisaseis. From the 365, there are 51 that relate to Avodah Zarah. When you get rid of the gilulim from min haaretz, the elilim, l'sachin elam, b'malchus shakai. You don't need 365. It's only 314. The world was created when there's only the Ribbono shel Olam. There is no Avodah Zarah. Shakai. Tefillin, the shame of shakai. Because the tefillin represents, v'ro kol amar, ki shem Hashem nikra lecha, v'yodah mimecha. Okay, now, Why am I saying this? Besides the fact it's an unbelievable art, right? I saw this here because yesterday we learned in the Siddur in the afternoon, Thursday night, so we're doing Aleinu. We're doing Aleinu now, up to Aleinu. So this came up during Aleinu. We didn't say this over last night. And it occurred to me, at the end of this parashah, the end of this parashah is very bizarre. You can't tell me, no one's not going to say that the end of the parashah is Mishpatim is really from the very difficult sections of Chamishi Chum Shetara. Extremely difficult sections to understand what this means. The El Moshe Omar. No, let's go, I'm in the wrong place. But let me find, here it is. Shishi. You get to Shishi, this week's parashah, you enter it into very difficult territory. Very difficult terrain. Hine onoichi shaleach maloch lefonecha. Lishmorcha badorech. Vilahaviacha el hamokam asher hachinaisi. What does this passage mean? Hashem says, behold, I'm going to send you an angel. Torah is not into mysticism. I'm sending you an angel. But it says you're an angel. So Rashi over here says something very, very difficult, what this means. Kan, in this pasuk, nisbashu she'asidin lachato. Very strange. The Jewish people will one day sin. They will do harsh averis. U'shechino oimeris lohem, and when they sin, Hashem is going to say to Klal Yisrael, I will not take you by the hand. You are not worthy that I should guide you out of the desert into Eretz Yisrael by the hand. And instead, I will send a representative. I will send a messenger, someone in my place. Who will I send in my place? An angel. Rashi goes on to say, who is the angel? Metatron. Okay, mysticism, spooky stuff, right? I'm going to send an angel. And Rashi goes on to say, and the pasuk goes on to say, we do the Rashi, Asher hachi noisi, which I have prepared, Asher zomanti loseis lochem, which I have prepared. Zer pshutoi. That's the pshuta shol mikra. Umidrashoi el hamak masher hachi noisi kvar mikoy mikenegdoi. Okay, that's going on to a different point that we don't, that's not relevant for what we want to discuss. Then the next pasuk says, "Hishomer mi parnav." Watch out. When you do an avera, and I decide that I'm not going to take you in by the hand to Eretz Yisrael, I'm going to send a representative. I'm going to send the malach. When the malach leads you and guides you, you better behave. If it would be me, Hashem, who would take you out, you know you could misbehave. I'll be tolerant of your misbehavior. But when I send my agent in my place, you better not miss him because he's not tolerant. He's not forgiving as me. The malach is a tough guy. Al tamerbo. Don't rebel against him. He's not going to forgive you for your sins. Kishmi bikir boy. I give him, my name is in him. I've given him enormous power. Rashi. Al tamerbo. Lashon ham rebellion. Anyone who rebels, ki lo yisa lefishachem, einoy milumud bekach. The angel doesn't understand the principle of sin and forgiveness. He just is black and white. Either you're good or you're bad. If you're good, you get reward. If you're bad, he'll obliterate you in one second. He doesn't know there's tolerance. The malach doesn't understand. The malach is black and white. There's no in-between by a malach. Einan lubakach, shuhu minakat, she'einan choytim. This type of angel doesn't sin. There are different types of angels. There are some angels that have the ability to sin, and there are some angels that don't have the ability to sin. This angel's
in
the
cat. I don't know what that means.
Either do I.
But clearly he's not in the top tier.
Okay, in a chanan, okay. Fine.
You're not even getting a top tier angel.
This is all spooky stuff here. Whatever. There are angels that have Bechira Chofshis, and there are angels that don't. This is an angel that doesn't have any free will, and never sins. So when this angel sees someone, a human being sinning, what's going on here? It gives a look, and you turn into a pile of bones. Gal Shalat Samas. So you better watch out now, because the one that's going to take you out from the desert into Eretz Yisrael is going to be a malach that doesn't understand the principle of chait. And if he sees you misbehave, he'll obliterate you. Number two, even if he does understand what it means to sin, he has no power. He's a messenger. He has no right. He has no right to forgive. He's not the boss. I'm the boss, not him. And I'm not going to be there. I'm going to hide myself. The malach will take you out. Then he goes on to say, his, the malach I'm sending you, now you ask me, which malach? Who? Tell us a name. We want to Google him. Who's the malach you're going to send? Who are you nominating for this seat? Who are you nominating? Well, tell us his name. I'll tell you his name. You want to know who I'm nominating to be the guy that's going to take that's intolerant, that's going to be very nasty with you? Kishmi bikir boy. You know him? Okay. Now, the only reason why I'm telling you this is only for one reason. This whole drasha is because of the next two words of Rashi, which normally I would totally be turned off because I'm not a number person. But Rashi is Bigimatria Shakai. Mitatroin is Bigamatria Shakai. Now, what is Shakai? We just said in Jewish. Shakai means there's no Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah doesn't. Avodah Zarah, you know, it represents really. It's the Asaras Hadibros is Anoichi and Lo Yelcha. All of the Averos all start from Abizrayu the Avodah Zarah. That, now, first of all, this idea that we just expressed explains with incredible precision why Mitatroin is called Shakai. If not for what we just learned one moment ago, you say, wow, what does Mitatroin have anything to do with Shakai? And, wow, Shakai, Mitatroin, what's going on? What do you make of numbers? But now that we appreciate that the word Shakai, it represents the Torah without the Loisa Avodah Zarah. There's no issue. This metatron wasn't present when Hashem said, Lo yiyel lecha elohim achidim al pana. Doesn't relate to that. It's a Torah that doesn't deal with Lo yiyel lecha elohim achidim al pana. The 51 loisa says, related to the Zara, it's over his head. So, of course, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Oh, there's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no such thing as a nisoyon to disobey Hashem, to worship another deity. So, of course, he's intolerant. It goes hand in hand. The only time there can be tolerance of a person who doesn't have Avera, who understands that a person has a nisoyon, he serves Hashem, but there's a nisoyon that he has a yetzahara to worship another god. So then he's torn in the middle. What do I do? Do I do this? Do I do that? Oh, then you can understand what a nisayon is, what it means to do an avera, and you can relate to such a yetzahara. But if you don't even know what you're talking about, there's only the Ribbono Shel Olam. There's no such thing as lo yelecha. That's why you become intolerant of chate, because every chate really, in its root, stems from lo yelecha elohim acherim. So it explains why mitatroin is from the sug of malachim that. Is ain't a chayte that does not know what chayte is. We can understand how why he's bigamatria shakai. Okay, now that's the psukim over here. Now I want to take this with this idea now and to go on a mahalich of homiletics of Jewish. It came a point in time in history where the Anshei Knesses Hagadolah removed from us. Of the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah. We're living now in a generation where, in essence, al derech pshat of Shakai. There is no Yetzirah today for Avodah Zarah. I know you'll say there's a new Yetzirah for money, for Noshim, and everything was transferred. Okay, I'm asking, I'm not coming to deny that. But let's look at it in the purest, you can't ignore all the daf and gemara that tell you that. When they rebuilt the bayis, rebuilt the bayis sheni, the Anshei Kines, and they said we don't have a chance to survive. And they went, they were misfollowed, and they captured the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah. It came out like a lion out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and they put it into an iron tube, and they sealed the tube. The Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah does not exist today. You see someone bow down to a stone today, you put them in a mental ward. Okay? They're nuts. Today, we're living in a world today of Shakai. There are 365 Loisaseis. 51 of them are related to Lo Yelech Elohim Acherim. The Anshei Knesset HaGadol, the time of the Bayis Sheni, eliminate our Nisoyon in the simplest form of 51 of the Loisaseis, and thus has reduced the 365 to 314. To Shakai. We're living now in a Tekufa of Shakai. Now, is that a good thing or a bad thing? Is that a good thing or a bad thing? So you'll say it's wonderful, right? It's not so wonderful. I mean, it is and it's not, because when Hashem, no pain, no gain. The Anshei Kines HaGadoyla took away the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah because we wouldn't survive. But that's not Hashem's divine, that's not His will. Hashem put us in this world. There's no free lunch in this world. This world, you earn your keep in Olam Haba by going through Nisyonos. And if there's no Nisyonos in this world, then there's no Olam Haba. The whole purpose of this world is to have Nisyonos and to choose Ubacharta Bachayim and to get. But if there's nothing to choose, it's so easy, then that reduces. Chazal had a trade-off. Chazal made for us a trade-off. It's Kedai to get, in essence, less Olam Haba than getting nothing. Because if we're going to have the Eitz Sahara dancing among us, we're going to fail miserably and we'll have zero. We'll have even worse again. This way, they gave away a chelik of the intensity of Olam Haba by taking away this Nisoyon. And we have other Nisoyonis to deal with. We have other ways to earn Olam Haba. But this avenue of earning Olam Haba and this method, we're going to lose. So therefore, they take it away. It's not because we're good that we don't have the Yetzirah. It's because Hashem saw the time will come when you're just not worthy. You're not worthy. Now, the Pasuk then would say something very, very profound. The intolerance that Hashem has with us in our generation is more than the intolerance He had in the previous generations when there was a Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah. Because when there was a Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah, I'll give you some slack. You got Nisyonos. It's tough. It's difficult. When it's difficult, I understand. You fail, and I'll forgive you. I'll overlook. I will let you get away with more. This pasuk, I'm saying al derech drush, is referring to the tekufa of the Bayis Sheni and onward. Hine Matan Torah is over. I mean, we're about to over. The Eile HaMishpatim. Hashem gave us the Torah. Hashem gave us the Mishpatim, all the laws. And now Hashem says, okay, I want to tell you what's going to be in the Acharis Hayamim. He Osu V'agido Lechem Eis Asher Yikre Eschem V'Acharis Hayamim. In the Acharis Hayamim, Hine Anochi Sholeach Malach Lefonech. It's going to come a time in the Bayis Sheni and onward, I'm not going to be present anymore. And that's exactly true. In the Bayis Rishon, the Shechina was Shoira in the Beis HaMikdash. There was an Eish Meneshram, there were miracles, constant miracles in the Beis HaMikdash. Hashem's presence was felt all over the world. Klal Yisrael did not merit, the Bayis Rishon was Choref. We now go into the Tekuf of the Bayis Sheni, the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, which was a far cry from what the Bayis. The Shechina is going to come back, but relative to what it was, it's as if Hashem is sending a shliach. It's not the same. It's not the same. I know there's going to come a time when you're not going to merit the Shechina of the Bayis. So you're going to and I'm going to merit Bayis Sheni. And when the Bayis Sheni will be rebuilt, there'll be miracles. There'll be plenty of miracles in the Bayis Sheni. The Hashkocha process will be felt, but relative to what it was, it's going to be kemalach. Hine anochi shalech malach lefonecha l'shmorcha baderech. The derech of Jewish history to reach your destination of Bias HaMashiach. V'lahaviach alamok ma'ashrach inoisi, to bring you to Eretz Yisrael, to the ultimate final destination of the Bayis Shlishi. And during this time of the Bayis Sheni, I want to tell you, during the time of the Bayis Sheni and going into HaMashiach, watch out. Watch out. You better behave yourself. Because being that, I'm going to take away during this tkufa, because you're not roy, and we're going to have to take away the 51 lavin of avodah zarah. There's no yetzahara today for avodah zarah. So the nisayon to abandon Hashem is much, much less. Therefore, because the nisayon is much less, I'm not going to tolerate it. During the bayis rishayin and before that, I was very tolerant. And when you read in Tanakh, what do you read? You read Sefer Shmuel Melachim. It's unbelievable. Every pasuk they worship this Avodah Zarah and this Avodah Zarah and this the Moilech, you name it, they did it. And Klal Yisrael was cruising along. Everything was fine. What's going on? Can you imagine today? Chas Hashem, we wouldn't survive in a second. Exactly right, because then they had the Yetzer Hara. Today you don't. So today I'm not tolerant.
How do you see that which is less tolerant?
That's what I'm saying. Rashi is saying, when you take away the Nisrach, Rashi is saying, what is Rashi over here saying? It's a famous Rashi. Hashem says that I'm not going to be present. I'm sending in my place Mitatroin, a Malach. The Malach doesn't know what it means, Chet. And when he sees you misbehave, he's going to wipe you out in 1 second. It's a famous Pasuk. The pasuk, I'm expanding the pasuk, not from just the Pshudishol Mikra in the time of going into Eretz Yisrael. The Pshudishol Mikra is, I am not going with you. The Shechina will not accompany you into Eretz Yisrael. I'm sending a Malach to accompany you. And I'm telling you, if you misbehave, the Malach will destroy you. The Malach is not tolerant of sin. If I was going with you and you did an Avera, no, I'll forgive you, I'll be tolerant. The Malach, the pasuk in Rashi, the Malach is going to destroy you in 1 second. That's right. So I'm expanding this idea to Jewish history in its entirety. In Jewish history, because why? What's the secret that gives us all away? It's Rashi tells, and who is the Malach? What's his name? The Malach's name is Mitatroin. And Rashi says, what is Mitatroin? The Gematria Shakai. What is Shakai? Shakai means a world where you have no Nisoyoin of Avodah Zarah. When did the world experience no Avodah Zarah? In the beginning of the Bayis Sheni, it's many Dafim Gemara describing Klal Yisrael. Hashem says they took the Al Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah, they removed it from the world, put it in an iron tube and sealed it, and now we live in a world today where it's Malchus Shakai. It's not 365, it's 314. The 51 Loisaseis of Avodah Zarah are not relevant, at least in a literal sense. I know the drush, it turned into money and this and that. Put that aside. In the literal sense, the Beferish of Gemara is not relevant. We're living in a Malchus Shakai. Mitatroin is Shakai. Mitatroin is the Hanhoga of the Ribbono Shel Olam in a world where there is no Yetzahara for Avodah Zarah. And Hashem is saying here, during that Hanhoga where I'm not present, and the Hanhoga is going to be in the Hanhoga of Shakai, where you're not going to have a Yetzer for Avodah Zarah, watch out. I'm going to be less tolerant.
51 is 15%
of
365.
Okay.
15 is UK.
Ka.
So the Ka is not involved.
The Ka, okay. Well, you're saying Kabbalah in there. You're saying stuff. This already is over my head.
I think everything you're saying is very, very true today of Ligat HaTorah. Used to be people had an excuse. They had no time, it was too hard, and it cost too much money. Today, Torah is 24 hours a day. It's all in English. Really? It's wherever you want.
No excuse anymore. No excuse.
And took away all the excuses.
But this is the Farish in the Gemara. There's no Yetzirah. No one today has a Yetzirah to worship idols. The Farish of the Gemara. That's Shakai. Shakai is 365 minus 51 of Avodah Zarah. Hinei Anoichi, this is the Tekuf of the Bayesheni. Shalech Malach Lefonecha. My Shechina is not going to be with you to the same degree to guard you on the Derech to be a Samashiach. I'm going to send, it's going to be a much lower intensity. Ki'ilu it's a Malach. He's going to watch you. But he's shomer mipana. Watch out. In this tekufa, I'm not going to tolerate nonsense. Ushma b'koloi, al tamerbo, ki lo yisal lefeshachem, ki shemi b'kirbo, because who am I sending? I'm sending mitatroin Rashi Shakai. You're going to have less nisyonis. And when there are less nisyonis, the demand of Klal Yisrael is that much greater. And there's much less room for for Avodah Zarah, for Averos. Okay, so this is a drush. You got all the parts of the drush. It all starts with Shakai. It's 314. It's 365 minus the 51. Loisa says of Avodah Zarah. Okay, let's finish off with listeners.
What? This is all for Tzibur.
Right. Everything, of course. In general, the general rule is when everything is presented in front of you, Shulchan Aruch, you don't have an excuse. There's no excuses. When it's a nisayon, the greater the nisayon, the more leeway, the more compassion the judge has. You know, you had a tough life, a difficult life. It was very difficult, so you weren't able to do it. But when everything is mamish presented in front of you on a silver platter, and you still don't want to do it, then the tzviya is that much greater. Okay, let's go to another idea. Another entirely different idea. This week's parasha is very famous for Kol Asher Diber Hashem Naaseh V'Nishma. Okay, now in this week's parasha, we actually have it twice. People say, Naaseh V'Nishma, it's not in Yisro. Okay, it's not in Yisro, where you give us the Torah. It's the end of the parasha, Ein Muktam Mucha B'Torah, we go backwards. V'yom Hashem Moshe Alei Elai Ha'hora. The end of the parasha. The end of the parasha in which Aliyah is the Zirei Shvi. Yes, the end of Shvi. Vayom Hashem al-Mosh alay alay ha-hara. Go up to the mountain. Okay, v'chulu v'chulu. What does it say in the Pasuk? I'm going to give you v'ed l'chois, l'chois v'evin v'atoy v'hamitzvahs. Asher kosafti l'choy v'yisam. Vayokam Moshe v'yeshua b'shorst v'yal Moshe l'Hashem v'yal z'kinim Omar. Okay, I went too far. Let me go back a little bit. I really meant to go back to Perek Chav Dalet. It's also before Matan Torah. The El Moshe Omar, beginning of Perek Chav Dalet. Alei El Hashem, Atzal V'Aaron, Nod V'Aviv, V'Shim Zignei Yisrael. Fine. Moshe goes into the cloud. Vayavoy Moshe, Vayisaper Lo'on, Eis Kol Divrei Hashem. The Eis Kol HaMishpatim. Before Matan Torah. Vayan kol ha'om, kol echad, one voice, vayoyimru, kol ha'divarim asher diber Hashem na'aseh. Not na'aseh v'nishma, na'aseh. Next. Vayichlev Moshe, eis kol diber Hashem. He writes them all down. He writes the Torah. Vayashkei b'boikim, vayivim b'zbech tachas ha'chor, v'shtei mesher matzeva, 12 matzeva, v'shem osa shashiv t'yishol. Further, Vayishach is not even Yisrael, they bring carbonoids, Vayich Moshe Chatsi Adam, the blood. Vayikach, Sefer HaBris. Oh, the Sefer HaBris, this is what he wrote down. Vayik, when he reads it, Be'oznecha Om Vayomer, and they say, Kol Asher Diber Hashem, Na'aseh V'Nishma. Wow. What's the difference between the first pasuk, Kol Asher Diber Hashem, Na'aseh, and now, Na'aseh V'Nishma. What? Oh, okay. First time was right, you are correct. That's one difference. So basically, Klal Yisrael, really, they said, Na'aseh V'Nishma. They said, Na'aseh V'Nishma. They didn't say just Na. The song is wrong. It's not Na'aseh V'Nishma. It's Kol Asher Dibra Hashem Na'aseh. And then again, Na'aseh V'Nishma. It's really three. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. It's three. Not two. Right? There are two different psukim. Right, Mark? I'm not making this up. Other things I make up, but not this. This it says, at first it says back in Pasuk Gimel, Kol Advar Masher Dibra Hashem Na'aseh. And then it says, next in Pasuk Vol, Zayin, Pasuk Zayin, Vayikach Sefer HaBris. So Meir said correctly, the first time they said Na'aseh, it was oral. There was no writing. The second time it was in writing. But look, there's more to it. Look exactly what it says. There's a very big difference. There's a very big, very important difference. Pasuk Gimel, go back and then read you Rashi. Rashi says, Vayovay Moshe Vayisaper, he related. La'am, Bo Bayom on that day, Eis Kol Divrei Hashem. What did he tell them? Mitzvas Perisha, to stay away from your wife for 3 days. V'Hagbola, to stay away from the mountain. The ace called Hamishpatim, which Mishpatim? Sheva mitzvahs shenitztavu b'nei noyach. The Zion mitzvahs. The Shabbos. Shabbos Kodesh. The kibur avoein upara aduma. The dinin shenidnu lohem bimora. A select group of mitzvahs, which is quite a bit. Quite a bit. First of all, what's relevant for Matan Torah, what's relevant for, you know, Sheva Mitzvahs, Reinoyach, basic principles, Shabbos, Paraduma, Kibud Avoim, Dinin, a lot of good stuff. And what did they say? Nase. They responded after everything over here is not, we're going to do it. We're just going to do it. We're not going to think about it. What does Nishma mean? Nishma means to understand, to comprehend the depth. They said, listen, this is what you want from us, keep it out of aim.
The first one was before Matan
Torah? Both are before Matan Torah. Both are before Matan Torah. There's no sefer yet. This part that we just read, we're getting to that. This part that we just read, Pasuk Vayisaper is, Pasuk Gimel, there is no book. Vayavoy Moshe Vayisaper lo'om, eis kol divrei Hashem, eis kol ha'mishvotim, vayan kol lo'om kol lechod, vayom kol adher ma'asher divrei Hashem na'aseh. Okay. Then Vayichle Moshe begins to write things down. Ace called Divrei Hashem, Vayashem Abayke, v'chulu v'chulu. And then Nochem al Vayikach, he takes the book that he wrote. The Sefer HaBris, this now, when in its written form, it's called the Sefer HaBris, and he reads it to them. He reads them what he has there. But Ozne Ha'om Vayomer, and they say, oh, now that it's in book form, we'll still wait for the movie. First, it was just a speech. Then it was a book. The motion picture is yet to come. But right now, he puts it in book form and he reads them the book. Now, let's go to Rashi on Pasuk Zion. And look what it says there. Rashi with Zion, he takes the Sefer HaBris. What is the Sefer? What did he write down? Mi Bereshis. Bereshis Bore Elokim. Creation. The Ovos. The Shvatim, all of the Yisoidites of Emunah, they're not mitzvahs in Chumash Bereishis. No mitzvahs. It's stories. Stories. It's principles of Emunah, creation, stories, Emunah. Mibereishis, the Ad Matan Torah. What else did he write down? Umitzvahs shenitztavu bimora. Very interesting Rashi. Rashi, wait. What about Kibud Avoim? He omits that. What about, no, Matan Torah didn't happen yet. It's interesting. Matan Torah didn't happen yet. See, we all think that Nase v'Nishma was everything, B'chol HaTorah Kulu, Tayag Mitzvos, they said Nase v'Nishma. First of all, no such thing. Klal Yisrael never said Nase v'Nishma on what Matan Torah. They said Nase v'Nishma, I don't know how you can deny that. We brought up Matan Torah, Tayag Mitzvahs, everything in the Torah, Nasa v'Nishma. I don't know where that comes from. Maybe there are other Rishonim that learn Pshat and the Pasukim differently. Maybe they'll say these Pasukim was said after Matan Torah. Rashi here says, Yol Moshe Omar, Rashi makes it clear as day that this took place before Matan Torah. Yol Moshe Omar, Pasuk Aleph, Parsha Zu, Me'emra, Koidem Aseres Hadibros, B'dalud B'sivon, Ne'emar Loy Alei. This whole parash before Matan Torah. So they tell you as children, Nase v'Nishma on the Tayag Mitzvos, not according to Rashi. Maybe you'll find other Rishonim that say it was very limited. Rashi says explicitly, you know what Nase v'Nishma was set on? It was set on Nibereshis, the Ad Matan Torah, which means basically the stories of a Jewish history. And which mitzvahs? He doesn't say Kibud Avoim, or before he goes on to say Kibud Avoim, Paraduma, and Dinim. He says over here, no, well Mara didn't include, the Mara was also Kibud Avoim, I'm not sure whatever it was. But here he says, you have to be done. What is Mara? Fine. The Umitzvah Shenitztavu B'Mara. And now they said Na'aseh V'Nishma. What's the pshat? So it's very pashut. What's the main difference between before and after, when Moshe spoke, when he wrote down? The difference is Chumash Bereishis. Chumash Bereishis. History. Emunah. Emunah relates to Nishma. Mitzvahs are Nase. To do a mitzvah, you gotta do the mitzvah. The goal is not, oh, let's understand the depth of the mitzvah. Yeah, that's all very nice. It's Talmud Torah to understand the depth of the mitzvah. When the day is over, are you taking the lulav and esrog, or are you not going to take the lulav and esrog? You want to understand the depth of the lulav and esrog? No, very good. So go have a, go and look. The focus of the mitzvah is do the mitzvah. Just do it. You want to understand it? Yeah, of course. There's what to understand. The Kabbalah of Klal Yisrael was, we're going to do it. Whether we like it or not. It's like, you know, the oil is first, it's Naseh, comes before Nishma. So this is a Chazal. I'm not trying to deny that. The Pashut Shah is that we're going to do the mitzvah, no matter what. And then we're going to delve into the Sisrei Torah. You don't have to say that. You have to say that. That's self-understood. When you make a Kabbalah, what is your Kabbalah? Don't confuse me with the facts that I'm going to do it, I'm going to delve into the Sisrei Torah. Are you going to do it or not? Yes. When you make a Kabbalah, I'm going to do it. Chumash Bereshis, there's nothing to do. There are no mitzvahs. You'll tell me Bris Milah, you'll tell me Bris Milah, you'll tell me.
They already see, so chapter 12, all the mitzvahs were turning to Pesach, to Tefillin.
So he doesn't say that. Those mitzvahs, the Pesach and Mitzrayim, were different than the laws of Pesach Doiris. Pesach and Mitzrayim was a one-time event.
Yeah.
Because it was Chutz Laretz, they put the blood on the mashal, the mezuzahs. A lot of those mitzvahs expired. They were one-time mitzvahs. Okay, right. Okay, we learn. We learn one from the other, but those mitzvahs, they're repeated again elsewhere. And we extrapolate. But the thrust is, when it comes to Emunah, the Chumash Bereishis, it's all about Emunah. Emunah that Hashem created the world. The midos of the others. The brachos. That is something where you don't do this to do. There's nothing to do. It's nishma. Nishma means to comprehend, to understand, to absorb. It becomes part of who you are. Emunah is not something that you do. Emunah is who you are. Mitzvahs are things that you do. So just trying to suggest, first of all, open up this whole this awareness, and there's a lot of, you know, you can play around with this, which I didn't spend even more to delve into over here, is there's a Naseh, there's Naseh v'nishma, and by the way, in Parshas Yisra, I think it says their Nishma. It's really, I told you it's Nasa, Nasa, the Nishma. It's really Nishma, Nasa, Nasa, and Nishma. It's a nice, so yeah, there's more to it. But just looking at this week's parasha, you see, when it came to the mitzvahs, Nasa, when Moshe then wrote down Chumash Bereishis, the stories, all of a sudden, now we are first introduced to Nishma. Where did that come from? Well, you've introduced a new element. The new element is Chumash Bereishis. What is Chumash Bereishis? There are no mitzvahs. There are no mitzvahs. And you'll tell me, Bris Milah, but that's not there.
That's
no.
Why it says to Moshe, the Kai, Shem Shaddai, he didn't know, right?
What?
Bnei Yisrael didn't know what Shaddai meant.
We're not discussing Shaka anymore. We're not discussing that. No. We're done with that. We're not discussing that. We're over with that. So that's not over here, what has been added into the mix in this pasuk is stories, and the stories are stories of emunah b'Hashem and midos tavus hashkafa. And now, what's been added into the Kabbalah, nishma. It has to be they connect. The mitzvahs, do the mitzvahs. Don't be a chacham. Do the mitzvahs. Hashkafa. Hashkafa emunah b'Hashem midos. You don't do. It's not enough to do. It's who you are. There's no separation. This is what I do. This is who I am. A person who lives with Maisa Bereishis, that Hashem is his world, and with the midos of the others. Nishma is who you are. You absorb into your soul. Nasa, I do the mitzvahs. I don't understand the mitzvahs. Hashem told me, do I do the mitzvahs? That's Nasa and Nishma. That is our idea of what the depth of Nasa and Nishma here, the way it is presented. Shulishol Mekra. Have a wonderful Shabbos. We want to wish Meir. You going Sunday night? We want to wish Meir a safe trip, an enjoyable trip.
All right.
No, he's going to Eretz Yisrael. He's going to the Holy Land. Have a wonderful experience.